Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 11th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we the people need to get involved. As you know, also, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, we also must do a quick recap of yesterday's show. We had Brian Rust on RustCoinAgift.com. Honest Money Report doing a great job. Silver Eagles costing more and more all the time. Literally $44 for a Silver Eagle silver dollar nowadays, even though the spot price on silver, more like $27. So you can see the spread highlights the dishonesty in the fake news, fake fiat currency scenario. We also talked about First Country makes Bitcoin legal tender. Nobody can refuse payment, says El Salvadorian president. So Bitcoin, you can pay either in fake fiat, petrodollars, the United States dollars, or Bitcoin now. And you can't refuse Bitcoin, by the way, in that country. That liberty, not at all. Cybercash is traceable after all. I told you so. Don't dip your toe in the crypto, ladies and gentlemen. But there you have that. America's Hope. We talked about an article by Ezra Taft Benson. He was Secretary of Agriculture in the Eisenhower administration. He says Americans are destroying America. Sad, but reality check, right? We talked about Boone County, Kentucky. Circuit Judge Richard A. Bruggen issued a permanent injunction against all of Governor Andy Beshear's COVID restrictions, including mask mandates. The judge shut the governor down, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that great news? No vaccine, no work. An article in USA Today, they're starting to force vaccinations or you're simply going to get fired. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, the land of the free is changing so much, so fast, that Americans are not even engaged at all. Fauci warned Americans of a highly infectious COVID-19 variant as he urged more vaccinations during his Tuesday press briefing. The variant, I guess it's called the Delta variant, was first discovered in India, but now it's spreading everywhere. It's in the UK and in America and over 60 countries, and they say it's a deadly variant. Keep an eye on that ball, folks. They will never let this go. They've found that it's so successful to shut down the people and steal liberty that they're going to squeeze every ounce out of this sponge they can get, aren't they? Hour one was in the can yesterday after that. Hour two, Republicans press Fauci over apparent discrepancy in testimony before Congress. That's right. He lied back in 2012 and said he was involved in gain-of-function research, and then he comes back and says that he's not. On Wuhab Land Grant, he said we weren't funding it, and then he said he was, and all that. It's crazy. Democrats and Republicans, by the way, are weaponizing fear and anxiety to totally transform America. Cleveland Clinic, quote, no need to vaccinate people who have already had the COVID vaccine. I'm sorry, no need to vaccinate people that have already had COVID. They don't need the vaccine. The Cleveland Clinic Hospital directly contradicts Fauci and the FDA. Art Moore. So you got a big battle on your hands. Cleveland Clinic says no need to get vaccinated if you've already had the COVID naturally. You got natural immunity. All right. Fauci and the FDA say you got to have the vaccine. But infected people do not need the vaccine. That's also a conclusion of Yale University's epidemiologist. Guy's name is Dr. Harvey Reich, I think is how you say it. There's more data, by the way, on natural immunity than there is on vaccinated immunity. Why? Because natural immunity has been around much longer, he highlighted. We are not seeing infections, so you don't need it. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds also signed law banning ballot harvesting. Very interesting. Ballot harvesting is when, you know, you get all kinds of government bureaucrats and officials and hired professionals to just run around and try to help people fill out ballots and turn them in. Just ripe with vote fraud. Vaccination site employee got arrested and accused of stealing 528 empty vaccination cards. You know, that way you could just get a card even though you didn't really get the vaccine, right? Anyway, Biden admin, guy's name is Andy Slavitt. COVID-19 advisor, he steps down. He says it was just expected to step down, but I wonder if there's if it's rotten in Denmark and people are starting to see, you know, the ship's starting to sink, so they're starting to see if they can bail, huh? People are fleeing collapsing economies of blue states. A, start making better decisions on who you vote for. They say don't just flee the state after you sell it down the river. Challenges to religious freedom continue for the East to the West around the world. Matt Staver, it's Family Research Council. Tony Perkins with that one. Lockheed Martin, believe it or not, sent over 1,000 top employees to white male privilege training. CEO Jim Taiclet says, so they send all these white executives to white male privilege training. What do you think of that, folks? Critical race theory embedded in some of the biggest corporations in America. It's fraudulent as all get out. Police didn't clear BLM protesters. The media lied. Yeah, they didn't clear protesters so Trump could have a photo op. That was all a big lie. Why are we finding out it was a lie now? The propaganda, the media, they're losing credibility so fast, it's shocking. The CDC also exaggerated the rate of outdoor transmission of the coronavirus. That's according to a new report by the New York Times. The risk is minuscule now, Fauci says on ABC. It's minuscule if you're outdoors getting the COVID from somebody else. They admit that now, a year plus later. Frequent traveler Lucas Wall sues the CDC and Joe Biden for unconstitutional mask mandate on public transport. He says, I've already got the vaccine. I don't need the mask. Even all the experts say I don't need the mask, and you say that I do. I'm suing you. Well, good for Lucas Wall. I hope he's successful. Weight adjusted. Hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin or whatever it is, AZM, boosted survival of ventilated COVID-19 patients by 200%, they say. So you know what? There are answers. Trump was right. The mainstream press lied. Why a judge has Georgia vote fraud on his mind, you ask? Well, there's pristine Biden ballots that look like they're Xeroxed. Paul Sperry with Real Investigations breaking that down for us. That is yesterday's News the Networks Refused to Use. Without further ado, News the Networks Refused to Use today starts now. And it starts with our good buddy, Chris Carlson. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yes, Sam. Welcome back. Without God, we can never win. Sam, with God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Headline says, the getaway driver, Chris, wants to tell you a story. Then he wants to highlight three examples to drive home the point. Chris?
Yes, sir. So it's an allegory, and in the scriptures we read allegories, and and allegories help us to learn principles and learn lessons in a way that we might not otherwise learn them. So the allegory is about a kindly old man by the name of Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson is just one of these level-headed, gentle, loving creatures that just wants to take young men who have gone astray in their lives into their lives to help maybe guide them to become better people. And in the process, he actually facilitates a crime that these two young men committed. The two young men's name are Tom Arley and Jay Spenderhoff. And Tom Arley and Jay Spenderhoff grew up without fathers in the home, which is tragic. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, Bob wanted to kind of fill in as their father, and he had a little farm outside of town where these young men would come out with their girlfriends and their alcohol, and they would drink and they would carouse and have a good time. And a lot of times these young men would cross the line, and Bob would, you know, he would tolerate it. He would say, well, you know, they're just young teenagers, and sometimes teenagers do bad things. And he would befriend them because he didn't want to burn that bridge. He didn't want to sever his relationship. But what he was doing, Sam, is he was facilitating the bad behavior, because he never really drew a solid line between what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. And to make a long story short, and you can read it if you want, Sam, you can fill in the ellipses here if you feel it's necessary. I don't want to get too far into the story. But these young men
get
decided,
down to the part what they do and then the punishment. Let's make sure we cover that.
We'll cover that. So these young men, you know, they started off, you know, doing some vandalism, you know, petty theft, things like that. And then they eventually, at age 19, they graduated into bank robbery, and they committed 4 bank robberies. But by that time, they had lost their licenses, Sam, so they couldn't drive, and they didn't even have cars because, you know, these kids were not these upstanding, hardworking kids like, you know, most kids that grow up in a home with a father. Anyway, we'll wait until after the break.
These children get worse and worse and worse, and their buddy enables them. We'll talk about it. We're talking about an allegory called The Getaway Driver. We'll drill into 3 examples of how The Getaway Driver reality check affects us in America now via your favorite, or maybe not so favorite, politician. Back in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, breaking down all things liberty for you. The allegory of the getaway driver continues. Chris?
So this normally law-abiding citizen, Bob Anderson, finds himself in an orange jumpsuit in a court of law being interrogated by a prosecuting attorney. And I'll just read it word for word because I think it's very instructive. When asked why he would agree to be the getaway driver for these two now 19-year-old boys, Bob seemed incredulous. Well, why wouldn't I want to help them, he exclaimed to the prosecuting attorney. I love these boys. I know what they did was wrong, but I told them that over and over again, but they just wouldn't listen to me. I never thought that they would end up killing anyone, so they ended up killing 3 people in these 4 bank heists. You never thought that they would end up killing anyone, queried the prosecuting attorney. What did you think they were going to do with those 2 guns that you gave them? I guess I thought that if I continued to tolerate their behavior, that at some point they would recognize my tolerance as love and come around to see things from my value system, said Bob. How long have you known these two boys? And have they ever shown signs of changing, asked the prosecuting attorney. I have known and been working with these two boys since they were 14. I know that they have made many poor decisions in their lives, and unfortunately, they have not really changed. But I thought that by building bridges and not burning them, sooner or later, they would recognize all the sacrifice that I have made to accommodate their flawed behavior and reciprocate in my direction, responded Bob. Mr. Anderson, do you realize that due to the number of drunk driving convictions that these two boys have had, they were not legally permitted to drive? Not only did they not have driver's licenses, but neither of them even had cars. They would have never been able to drive to the four banks that they had robbed, let alone gotten away with your having provided both cars and a driver. If it wasn't for you, those three boys would be alive. Those three people that they killed would be alive today, railed the prosecuting attorney. I know this, confessed Bob, but I just knew that I could have more influence on them if I was able to maintain our friendship by showing a spirit of solidarity. Solidarity? What about showing a spirit of solidarity to the community, to the three dead people who your young friends killed, as well as to their family and friends, demanded the prosecuting attorney. Now wait just a minute, retorted Bob. I didn't take one penny of money that those kids stole, and I didn't kill those three people. Tom and Jace killed them. I just drove the getaway car. So, and that's the end of the allegory, Sam.
So before you continue with the three examples, let's apply that to the political world in which we find ourselves. Our founding fathers gave us a constitutional republic, a very unique form of government that has never been tried before. They called it the grand experiment. And now 200 years later, we can point to a track record of success that is matched by none other, by no other example in history. Is it perfect? No. As we've shown fidelity to it, it's been incredible. Created the best economic engine in the world, the most prosperous, the happiest people in the world, and it has really been a beacon, a light on a hill for other nations. In fact, most nations' constitutions are patterned after, in some ways, our constitution. Our revolution was unique in that it turned us to God and was a successful revolution, like no other. I could go on and on, but as we've shown fidelity to the supreme law of the land, we've been incredibly successful in that we all act as the getaway driver. We seem to lose the crown jewel. Chris? And by the way, you got to get rid of all your background noise. It sounds like you're in a construction site.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get my family to help me here.
All right, go ahead. So the getaway driver is critical here, and we're all playing the getaway driver to some degree.
Some degree. Our politicians are playing the getaway driver. We, as the voters, play the getaway driver to a degree because there are only no more than 2 degrees of separation between us and our politicians if we exercise our sacred franchise to vote. So, you know, we have skin in the game. We have culpability when they go wrong and make poor decisions against the Constitution. So we need to recognize that.
And there's two main ways. One, we vote for them every 2 years. At all levels, number one. Number two, though, we have an obligation to hold them accountable. Okay, we need to, well, they said this, you have a republic, you have this experimental form of government, if you can keep it. And that meant, you know what, eternal vigilance and watching those who represent us, who serve us, who are in our employ, watching them like a hawk. And these are two areas in which Americans have failed. There's more. But those are two that I can highlight now. But let's dig into the three examples and make the point in very modern times.
Well, let's talk about Obamacare, Sam. And I that's the first item on the list of things that I compare to the getaway driver. So for the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, did we not have a Republican majority in both houses and the presidency? And did not the Republicans previous to this time swear in their wrath that they would, as soon as they got a majority in both houses and support in the Oval Office, that they would get rid of Obamacare?
Yeah, in fact, they even voted 40 times while they didn't have control in the House, 40 times saying they would do it, they would do it, they would do it. It was all political theater and show, it turns out.
And they knew, I believe that they knew in their hearts that it would never happen. But it, like you said, it is all political theater because the American people, like like the giveaway driver in the allegory that I wrote, they're willing to forgive in hopes that someday, you know, these cricket politicians would fly straight. But over and over again, Sam, we see that they don't. They never quite get to the point. They have wonderful excuses when they fail to do what they're supposed to do under the Constitution. But, you know, we, like the idiots that we are, and I apologize for using such harsh words, but we tolerate them and we believe over and over again that this time it's going to be different. This time they're really going to be able to accomplish the constitutional objectives that we hold them to, but they never do. So who's the bigger fool, they or we, the ones that keep believing against our better judgment that they will actually do it?
And we're about to play the getaway driver again, because what we're saying now is, oh, my goodness, Joe Biden and his Democrat colleagues are off the rails. We better put those Republicans back in. The same ones that betrayed us, ladies and gentlemen, the same ones that promised to reject Obamacare, the same ones that voted 40 times to get rid of it, but then when push comes to shove, they never got it done, and then they blame everybody else. There was one or two Republicans that betrayed the whole group. Are those Bob, the getaway drivers, and we're complicit in letting Bobs stay there? Are we complicit
exactly.
in letting it happen in the first place by then saying, well, by golly, we got to have the Republicans? Those are the answer. All right, example two.
Okay, can I say something about the first example?
Sure.
The entire time, so we had the majority for 730 days in the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, Republicans, I say we, I shouldn't say we because I'm no longer a Republican, but we had the opportunity not only to repeal the legislation, but to defund it. That would have been a lot easier because we could have bypassed the Senate where John McCain was standing as the gatekeeper. They didn't even do that, Sam. Remember people crying out, say, defund it, defund it. That's all you have to do in the meantime. So at least for that 730-day period, it wouldn't have been effective. But they couldn't even do that.
No, they could have, but they wouldn't. They had the authority to. So remember, it's not, that's why they're a little bit the getaway driver. If they couldn't have, then they wouldn't be as culpable. They could have. They just wouldn't, Chris.
Exactly. They wouldn't. And, you know, I know, Sam, that you try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think they're corrupt. I think they're crooked. I don't think they care about the American people. Maybe that's a little harsh on my part, Sam. I know you, try to give them a little more credit than that. But, you know, I'm done with them. I've seen, you know, for the past 35 years what they've done to our country.
We'll get into my reasoning about giving them a little bit more credit. It's not that I believe they deserve the credit. It's that I believe we have no options for solutions as it currently stands. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think we can solve the problems. It just means as it currently stands, we've got some real decisions to make as an educated populace about that. All right. Example two.
Okay. Then I use the term the scissors move. Okay, it's about cutting taxes and increasing government expenses. And we've talked a little bit about this, but I call it the scissors move. I think that's an effective analogy that I can use to illustrate the point whereby Republicans, and this happened under Reagan, it happened under Bush, and it happened under Donald Trump. Republicans promise to cut taxes while Democrats insist that spending increase. And we've talked about this where it ends up being a tax increase, whereas the Republicans keep touting it as a tax decrease. Because what happens, Sam, is if you don't cut spending, then you have to borrow the difference between what is spent and what is collected in taxes at interest. And that interest payment on the money that Congress then has to borrow to cover the shortfall represents a tax increase. And well, you may not have to pay it immediately. You have to pay it at some point down the road. But either that or our children, you know, sometime in the distant future will have to pay it. Either way, it is a tax increase.
Well, let's be very clear. The tax increase happens in inflation and in interest as well, holding the people hostage. And then what they usually do is they leave the budgetary discussions till the last second. And then they play the getaway driver as they steal our money. Quick pause. Chris Carlson on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A 5% increase in the consumer price index grabbed headlines on Thursday, indicating inflation. Inflation really hurts lower-income families as they have less disposable income to cover the extra costs. Since the last year of the Trump administration, milk and cigarettes are up over 7%, bacon is 13% more expensive, and the one we all know, gasoline. A gallon of gas is now 56.2% more expensive. The European Union is joining the latest calls by the United States and Australia for an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. On Friday, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that it's necessary for the World Health Organization to launch an independent and impartial probe.
Well, it's a great pleasure, Mr. President, to welcome you to Cornwall.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
President Biden and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson shared some time with reporters after their bilateral meeting on Thursday. USA Radio News.
It may be the biggest cover-up of our time. Was the coronavirus created in a lab? And did the Chinese government hide the truth? Now, Steve Cortez and Jen Pellegrino give you the shocking truth on their hit Newsmax show, Cortez and Pellegrino. Newsmax is already the fourth largest cable news channel in America. And all this week, Cortez and Pellegrino tell you the real story about the coronavirus the big media won't tell you. More than 30 million Americans watch Newsmax, now on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax, or you can switch. Plus, find Newsmax for free on your smart TV, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, or more. And remember, you can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. Join millions of Americans turning off the old cable news and going to Newsmax for real news they can trust. Check Newsmax out today.
The border wall between the United States and Mexico is bought and paid for. The problem is installation. President Biden, in his first days in office, shut down border construction, leading to what is now a humanitarian crisis at the border. Texas leadership is now taking the bull by the horns. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The centerpiece of the allocation is border barriers where illegal aliens cross into the U.S.
I will announce next week the plan for the state of Texas to begin building the border wall in the state of Texas.
Governor Abbott also said Biden's open border policies have led the way for dangerous gangs, cartels, and human traffickers to invade our nation.
This is something that also is not a tourism site for members of Congress to make an annual pilgrimage to and see the border and then go back and do absolutely nothing at the federal government level to solve the crisis.
$15 billion is what taxpayers paid for the wall. USA Radio News.
The allegory of the getaway driver, Chris Carlson, riding shotgun on the show today. We're talking about examples. Obamacare was the first one. Tax and spend, the second one. They literally spend us into oblivion. Hidden taxes called inflation. They usually bring the budget up to the wall. If you don't fund this now, the whole government will shut down. Lie. That's the getaway driver mentality, big time. As they steal from the American people over and over, and then what they say is, well, we really had no choice. That's the lie. Chris?
Okay, I'm going to read word for word, Sam, my response to the scissors move that we've just talked about. I write, it took my naive mind a while to figure this out, but when I did, the scam on the American people became very clear to me. In my feeble mind, okay, if my feeble mind could figure this out, certainly these Harvard, Yale, and Columbia-educated lawmakers can understand it as well. It was at that moment that I realized that our politicians were either really stupid or that there was a concerted agenda to deceive the public into going deeper and deeper into debt. Then I discovered another piece of the puzzle. Are you ready for this other piece of the puzzle, Sam?
Yes, sir.
And this convinced me that the latter explanation that they were there was a concerted agenda to deceive the public into going deeper into debt. This must be the case. I discovered that almost all of these 535 lawmakers have financial portfolios that increase year by year. While America's financial portfolio decreases year by year, if these lawmakers were simply incompetent with money, then their own personal portfolio, Sam, would be as messed up as our government's portfolio. This is not the case. The only rational explanation then is that they are simply corrupt.
So how is the government portfolio in a disaster and continually going in debt? How are the American people's wealth being siphoned off slowly? It's like a poker game and a poker table. The money just disappears, but always the politician continues to do better and better and better. That isn't by accident across 535 servants, and it isn't across years and years and years of abuse. But here's how the American people are the getaway driver. So I submit the members of Congress are the getaway driver. But so are the people. We could shut them down and remove them every 2 years or every 6 years if it's a federal senator or whatever you want to say, every 4 years for the president. We could remove these people, but we don't. We just simply go, our guy almost won. We better get our guy in again. And it's the same people that are doing it over and over and over. But we play the lesser of two evils game, which we'll get into in just a second. But let's kick off example three, Chris.
Okay, example three, 1996, members of Congress, in violation of their oaths of office, passed a bill known as the Defense of Marriage Act. And every conservative just loved DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, because it defined a marriage covenant as a covenant between a man and a woman. One man and one woman. And we loved it.
Now, before you go on about that, government was not involved in marriage in the early days of the Republic. People used to write their marriages in the Bible to document them as a contract between two people. The reason the federal government got involved in marriage in the first place is because they didn't want white people marrying black people. And so it was a racist assertion that government got into marriage in the very beginning, and that's the start. And then they went on further and said, oh, we're not racist. And then they codified and said, well, we don't care about black and white anymore. We're not racist anymore. But we really want to make sure that it's a man and a woman. But again, when the government creates the list of do's or don'ts, then they become in charge of a given issue, at least in theory, or at least in fiat. And that's what we're seeing now. So now when you go to DOMA, they defined it as a man and a woman, and they codified it at the federal level. Now the federal level supposedly has dictatorial control over the marriage reality, which is a lie. It was a contract between God and one man and one woman. That's how it was traditionally set up by God, and then that's how it was in America. Until government got involved, first as racists, secondly now defining it at the federal level even further. But it gets worse, Chris.
Yep, they took it out of the private sector. Well, the religious sector, I should say, because churches basically then had jurisdiction over marriage for the most part. And then in 2015, under the Obama administration's Supreme Court, we have Obergefell versus Hodges. Do you remember that decision? Now that marriage was in the federal sphere, under the federal jurisdiction, now it was generally accepted that the federal government could define what a marriage was. In Obergefell versus Hodges' decision, it was determined that the Constitution gave homosexuals or transgenders or whoever you are, just as much standing in the arena of marriage as one man and one woman. So the Republicans in 1996 gave the federal government that jurisdiction, and they used their jurisdiction that the Republicans, the getaway drivers in this scenario, the ability to then redefine marriage as something that is never and will never be recognized in the eyes of God. So let me just read word for word. Had conservative lawmakers not asserted the right of the federal government to define marriage under DOMA in 1996, the Supreme Court would never have been able to overturn it then in 2015. So that's the third analogy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So the allegory of the getaway driver, ladies and gentlemen, has three modern-day examples. Obamacare, tax and spend, and the sacred institution of marriage. In every case, your politicians have sold you down the river and violated the Constitution. In every case, we the people simply debate between the lesser of two evils. Chris?
That's right. And the lesser of two evils is evil, and we need to recognize that. You know, do you know how many people ran for president? I'll give you this analogy, example. In 2016, do you know how many people ran for president? Most people would say two, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Do you know how many people really ran for president, Sam? over 1,600 people. And we have, we could have voted for any one of those 1,600 people. I voted for the Constitution Party candidate, who was Don Blankenship, because I did my research. He seemed to be constitutionally founded. He seemed to be level-headed. And he seemed not to be controlled by higher powers. He seemed to be controlled only by his personal, religious, and political beliefs and the Constitution. And, you know, I can live with that, and I can sleep at night with that decision that I made. And I don't believe that I threw away my vote. And I will not vote for the lesser of two evils, because the lesser of two evils, as we have always pointed out in UF2, is evil.
The media plays the getaway driver, because what they do is they literally jettison all the other candidates, and they basically promote at big dollar expense. You know, there's you can debate the guidelines about spending money for politicians, but the media literally gave Donald Trump how much money in free coverage? I mean, it was
$4.5 billion. $4.5 billion. They admitted that.
Yeah.
Now, and why would they do that?
Because they love Donald.
Because they weren't afraid of him. He wasn't a threat. Did they give that much coverage when Ron Paul ran for the presidency in 2008? No way. No way, because he was a genuine threat to the establishment. And if Donald Trump had been a genuine threat, why would they do that? I keep asking people, and they say, well, it's because he was a polarizing figure. He was good for ratings. Well, yeah, but they got him elected. The media literally created Donald Trump as a political phenomenon. They created him. And they're supposed to hate him? Why would they create this political phenomenon that eventually got elected as president if they hated and feared him so much, Sam? It doesn't make any sense.
Yes, some are saying it's $2 billion. Some are saying it's $5 billion. He got billions.
Yep.
Remember the billions that Donald Trump got?
That's
reality, folks. And whether it depends on how you debate the dollars, right? Are we talking about wholesale? Are we talking about retail? You know, how do you determine the numbers is why the spread, people understand.
In free coverage, on media coverage, I believe CNN was the one that made that report.
Now, let me tell you what they like to say. They like to say, oh, Sam, well, the media was 90% negative coverage on President Trump. And you know what?
Yep.
The reality, if you're a media expert, says, I don't care if it's negative or positive, just get my name right.
Exactly. And I make the point in this document, I say if Ron Paul had gotten that coverage, I don't care if it was 100% negative. At least he would have gotten his message out, just like Donald Trump did. But they were afraid of him because Ron Paul is a genuine threat to the establishment. And that's why they didn't give him that coverage, because he knew that he very well could have become our president. And he very well could have reestablished the Constitution as the foundation of this republic. And that was a threat to them.
So the media plays the getaway driver in excusing and ignoring certain things. It's as important to understand what they don't report as it is to understand what they do report and how they report it. So that's kind of something that really is important. When we get back, I want to talk about two things in the last segment. One, is everyone a getaway driver? Or is there anybody who's not a getaway driver? And I submit there's one that is not a getaway driver. We'll get to that. And then last, I want to discuss a little bit more about what's to happen next. What's the next getaway driver plot? I'll tell you about it on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the getaway driver allegory, we're talking about it, gave three examples, coming back, talking about it more. Donald Trump, to some degree, has become the getaway driver. The Obamacare example, tax and spend, and the sacred institution of marriage. The question is there anyone who is not, to some degree, the getaway driver? Chris?
The innocent children, people that can't vote before they're 18 years of age, I mean, they have plausible deniability, but usually once they get to be 18 years of age, they dutifully either fall in the Democratic camp or the Republican camp, and that's idolatry. We've talked about this before. That is a form of modern-day idolatry, just like the Israelites fell into idolatry in the Old Testament times, where they worshipped Ashtaroth or Baal or some of these other, ancient Canaan gods and goddesses that got them into trouble with the Lord. And I say that there are two modern-day Baals and Ashtaroths today in the form of the image of an elephant and in the image of a donkey. And I think we should go into that right now. I'll read it word for word.
Now, I'm for this discussion. I think most people don't really realize there's real alternatives. And when they discover that there's real alternatives, they find that they have no chance in Hades to win. Now, I realize it's the Hegelian dialectic being exercised over the people to the nth degree. I get it, but I also understand that the lack of knowledge is more of the problem than culpability to a great degree because of the mainstream press, because of the manipulations in America. So how culpable somebody is with that kind of indoctrination or manipulation at the helm to almost 100% is hard to say.
Okay. Well, I found out about Don Blankenship with a little research. You got to scratch beneath the surface, and most people don't scratch beneath the surface. They turn on Fox, CNN, ABC, CBS, et cetera, and they say, okay, who are my choices? And there are two. Rarely will they, they'll talk about a Don Johnson. Was that the Libertarian candidate? Or, somebody. They'll just
That's right, from New Mexico.
Ron Paul. From New Mexico. Anyway, yeah, so who's really choosing? I mean, if we're too lazy to do a little research, and if I can do the research, Sam, and I'm not that technologically inclined, if I can find out that there's an honest constitutional candidate like Don Blankenship, and I know you know who he is, he ran under the Constitution Party ticket, and if I was able to do enough research to determine that he was a candidate that I could live with, then can't other people do that?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. But then they're propagandized and indoctrinated to say, look, it's not going to make any difference. He'll never win. He doesn't have a snowball's chance in heck. And you got to vote for somebody who has a chance. Otherwise, you're throwing your vote away. And they fall for all these other propagandistic lies and deceptions that deceive the people even further.
What if, Sam, let's use a hypothetical. What if the choices that we make in this life determine our reward in the next life? And I say hypothetical facetiously. I know that we will be judged based on all the choices, including the political choices, because they have spiritual implications. Do you believe that, Sam, that our political
implications? I believe our political, but I believe all of our choices relate to that across the board.
All of our choices.
And I think there's only one person that's not really a getaway driver, not counting innocent children. And that would be Jesus Christ himself. He's the author of liberty. He had complete fidelity to liberty 100%. He was perfect, gave his life on the altar of liberty for the rest of us and agency for us. I think to some degree we're all getaway drivers except for Jesus Christ himself. However, I think that sometimes we want to ascribe more culpability to people than they may deserve to some degree.
Yeah, and again, I fell into this trap 20 years ago. I stopped voting for Republicans and Democrats, elephants and donkeys, and we've talked about this, and I literally had to repent because I knew that my choices were contributing to the problems that we now face in this country, and hopefully the Lord has forgiven me for that and that I can move on and make better decisions in the future, and I invite all Americans to consider where they are right now. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Just consider where you are right now and realize that, one, we will be judged for the decisions politically that we make in this life, and two, we can move past those bad decision-making habits that we've developed.
No doubt about it. I think that's critical to consider and to be aware of. I believe that we, the people, have become the getaway driver in so many instances. I'm not sure how many of them are responsible for with the propaganda and the money and the deception and the, you know, it's a here, here, and a there, there, and a low, you know, follow me and a guilt trip. But I mean, there's some serious psychological psyops happening via the media and the manipulation of the people via the denial of true education. The indoctrination is so heavy in modern times, it is shocking how deceived the people will be. But let's talk about an example that's about to hit us. That's about to come true. And will we wake up and stop it, or will we play the getaway driver role? Whether you're a congressman, a senator, an individual, just an American citizen, a business owner, whatever, right? Here it is. The Great Reset is essentially a controlled demolition of the American financial system. The events in the months ahead, ladies and gentlemen, will make the events of the last few months or even the 1930s Depression era feel insignificant in comparison, ladies and gentlemen. Are we going to let them get away with the Great Reset? And the Great Reset is everything in society. This idea that you got to have a vaccine by force. This idea that we're going to fund abortion and murder babies. This idea that we're going to reset our financial system and go from a fiat system, really the frying pan into the fire with the manipulatability of our currency via digital and beyond. Are they going to supplant the fiat dollar, the fake petrodollar, the dollar that's created out of nothing with a $100 face value? Are we going to let them now morph us into a financial reset, in my opinion, a satanic jubilee? Or are we going to call a halt to that con game and go, no, not on our watch? And it's about to happen, slow motion, before your very eyes, Chris.
Yeah, and it will be slow motion because the slower, the better chance they have of actually implementing it. And I've thought about this, Sam, and I thought about how I might respond. You know, we've been counseled by wise leaders over the past 50 years or so to get a food storage, to prepare, to hunker down in our homes. And I've wisely done that, and I know you've wisely done that. A lot of people, a lot of Christians have wisely prepared for those things so that we can weather such storms. I don't believe that the Lord will leave us vulnerable, so vulnerable that we will have to actually participate in such a financial transition in this world, because to do so would be siding with Satan and with his plan. So I believe if we are prepared to hunker down, to disengage with the rest of society, with the financial system that is satanically being imposed upon us, that eventually we will be rescued from our plight, but we have to be prepared. If we don't have food, if we don't have proper provisions that will help us to weather the storm, then we are going to be vulnerable to the point where we will have to submit to their expectations in order to survive. But if you are prepared, you shall not fear. And we can disengage from having to be forced to participate in such an economy that they're trying to impose upon us. So that's all I can say. I've got 4 years. I hope by the end of that four-year period, things will be at a point where the righteous can reclaim and restore our constitutional republic so that we don't have to you know, hopefully our enemies will have been destroyed. You know, I know I'm talking in apocalyptic terms, but I think we need to think about these things seriously and prepare seriously for them.
Well, and I think one thing we need to really recognize, and I think the allegory of the getaway driver is really poignant here, and that is this. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to be able to stand before our Maker at the judgment bar of Christ and say, I've done my best not to be the getaway driver? I know I'm imperfect, and I know the only one who was never a getaway driver is the Savior Jesus Christ, but I've done my best not to participate in the allegory of the getaway driver mentality. I've done my best, Lord. That's what we need to be able to say. And so in my specific case, you know, I've really worked hard to not be the getaway driver. I'm not perfect. I may give a little bit too much defense for those who I believe are deceived and manipulated and debating how much culpable they are. I want to be on the mercy side of the plan because I want mercy administered to me. But no doubt, mercy and justice will work this out for each one of us. And we'll be judged based on our knowledge, our involvement, our actions, our thoughts, our behaviors. And the perfect judge will determine the balance between justice and mercy. But in my case, I want to be merciful to others and give them a little bit of a pass, more than toe the line, because that's how I want to be treated. I want mercy in my case, and so I tend to lean towards mercy in the case of others as well. But the point is well taken, and we all ought to take heed, Chris.
Yeah, and the most merciful thing that we can do at this point, Sam, is to not be that getaway driver, because the more we accommodate and facilitate this evil, the harder it's going to be to extricate ourselves, you know, when things get really bad. So, you know, being strictly obedient to constitutional principles, Sam, is an act of mercy, is an act of compassion and forgiveness. Because the deeper and deeper we dig ourselves into this hole, the more mercy we will have to have applied to us.
And remember, my fellow Americans, it's the checks and balances in the great supreme law of the land, Constitution, that is the key to the exercise here. We the people feel like we're disenfranchised, that we don't matter, that we can't make a difference. But it's in the brilliant checks and balances put in place by our founders that make our involvement not only possible, not only necessary, but essential, Chris.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, restrictions, a lot of people look at restrictions, and the Constitution is full of restrictions. Look at the Bill of Rights. They're not restrictions because God is a capricious and vengeful God and wants us to be miserable. Those restrictions are acts of mercy and love in behalf of his children. God wants us to learn obedience, because only through obedience do we find happiness and self-fulfillment, Sam. And just like a parent will discipline his or her child, parents do that out of love, not out of resentment or hate or capriciousness.
Well, and to prove your point, the sacred principle of repentance is not designed to punish God's children. That wonderful principle is designed to help us return, to be forgiven, and to receive blessings. And as a nation, if we repent, God will richly reward us. That's his promise, not mine. He says he will protect us and heal our land.
Yeah, and he's given us, you know, I made some predictions about 20 years ago, Sam, that I thought would have been fulfilled today. The fact that they haven't just demonstrates that God's mercy and love and patience for us has been extended. And we still have an opportunity to change our ways and repent, and I will turn the time over to you because it sounds like we're at the end of the program, Sam.
You got to do your outro, my friend.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win, Sam. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans, continuing our duty, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.